It seems more and more that students are growing up too fast in our society. But something else is trending. These students aren't growing up. And no matter who you are, parent, youth worker, you need to be aware of this trend. This trend is changing society as we know it.
So what does the future hold for students, and what are students saying they're going to do after they graduate? Today we're going to find out, because we're going to hear from students about what they think about their future. I'm Jeff Eckert.
I'm Jason Brewer, and this is The Thought Factory.
The Thought Factory podcast is brought to you by Never the Same, cultivating students through biblical discipleship and spiritual disciplines using theology, community, and technology. Learn more at neverthesame.org.
What may cause you to have concern for the future?
It's just the unknown, to be honest. I mean, like, what's going to happen with my life? I mean, if I'm going to get in a crash or something and then it totally messes up my life. You know, just the unknown of what's going to happen after school, or once you're not under your parents' roof anymore, you know, and you're on your own.
Would you say you're more optimistic about the future, or is it like, man, this future scares me?
Both. Depends on the day. Definitely depends on the day. I can be so optimistic, and I can be like, yes, I know what I'm going to do with my life. I have it. I love God. And then another day I'm like, my world is crashing. I don't know what's going on, and I'm freaking out. So it all depends. It really does. And I talk to my friends about it, and they're the same way. I mean, it's with graduation being next year. We talk about, well, I'm scared one day of graduating, and the next day I'm like, I cannot wait for graduation day, you know?
Well, in case you missed it, our last episode, we had a special guest named Chuck Klein. He is the leader of Campus Alliance. His website is everyschool.com. If you missed that episode, we want to encourage you, when you're done with this one, to go back, check that out, because he told us a lot of really good things and gave us some great insights from someone who's been involved in youth ministry nationally for several decades, and talk to us about a very influential place in our society, and that's the school campus.
And I want to apologize to anybody who saw the Chuck Klein name and thought it was the professional baseball player that we were interviewing. I made the mistake of the wrong research, and it was not the baseball player, but instead the guy in youth ministry.
You are so unprofessional.
Yeah, I know. Next episode, we will have another special guest. We interviewed a youth ministry professor who will talk about trends in youth ministry in the higher education, but also something that we're going to talk about today, the gap year. He will talk about that as well.
Yeah, so today, what we're going to talk about in this episode will connect a lot with our next one, and we're excited about that. So think about this. Prior to 150 years ago, older teenagers were living a much different life than they are today. Here's some examples of things they were doing. Many of them mostly were getting married. They were becoming parents as older teenagers. They were working full-time jobs. They held, many of them, high-capacity leadership positions, doing things like leading armies, sailing ships, running farms. And they were doing hard things. They were building businesses. They were building families. This was happening in the past year when students were 16, 17, 18, 19 years old, much different than what adolescents are facing today. Now, adolescence as a term and an idea is fairly new to American culture. Before adolescence was created, in a sense, and labeled as a life stage, you pretty much went immediately from being a child to being adult. So past generations saw the majority of 16 to 25 year olds taking on adult responsibilities and commitment. But as we know today, things have changed drastically. Older teenagers and young adults are much more hesitant to take on commitments and responsibility. And we're talking today about why that is and what students are thinking about with the future.
Dr. Tim Elmore, president of Growing Leaders and author of Generation IY, says the years between 18 and 25 have become a distinct life stage, a strange no man's land between adolescence and adulthood, in which young people stall, putting off adult responsibilities. Look at these trends today that support Elmore's quote. Older teenagers and early 20s, out of that category, 40% of college students return home. Over 50% of 25-year-olds say, I am not in an adult. So they don't classify themselves as an adult, even though they are 25 years old. Many young adults have no clear vocational focus. Many aren't motivated to achieve independence financially. And many aren't ready to accept lifetime commitments like marriage and parenting.
So as students were telling us in our research about what they're thinking about in the future, higher education was pretty top on the list there. And what we found out is we wanted to know what students were saying about what they see when they graduate. Where are they going? We asked them things about, are they going to school? Are they going right into the workforce? Here's what we learned. About 50% of these students, now we would call them church-connected students or what you might call, quote-unquote, youth group kids. 50% roughly are most likely or probably going to go to a Christian college or university, or at least they believe they are when they're in high school. That's about half. And then the other half are saying they're probably not going to a Christian college or university. When we broke down these numbers further, what we found is the number of students that said, yes, I'm planning on going to a Christian college or university, 20% said yes, and 20% said, no, I'm not going to a Christian college. And then you had 30% that said, I'm probably going, and about 30% said, I'm probably not going. So we took those numbers, and it pretty much splits down the middle. Half are saying, yes, I am or probably going to a Christian college, and the other half saying, no, I'm probably not or I'm definitely not. And we thought that was interesting because students are giving big consideration to Christian higher education.
And when we look at higher education for students, we asked a different type of question of some of their plans, and it broke down to these numbers where 17% are planning on taking a gap year. You missed the air quotes.
I saw them.
Okay. But there is this gap year that they are planning on taking advantage of. 62% are immediately going away to college, which seems nothing surprising there. 16% plan to go to a community college, and 5% are going straight to work without any schooling.
So we also ask adults, if you're familiar with this research model that we're using, that we've used as we've researched and connected with about 3,000 students from all over the country, we've asked adults their thoughts. What do they think students are saying? When we ask students and adults, you know, are you thinking going to community college? About double the amount of adults think that students are planning on going to community college more than what students are saying. So adults are saying they believe that students are much more likely to just stay home and go to community college, but more students are saying, no, I want to go away. Adults are saying they think 10% of students are taking a gap year. And as you said earlier, Jason, 17% of students themselves are saying. So there's a much less amount of adults that believe that it's on students' radar, which is interesting to note. And we also thought the comparison of the fact that only 22% of adults thought that students were interested in Christian higher education when we just learned that 50% were. So less than half of adults are saying they think students are considering Christian college. And that's something that we're going to dive into, maybe some reasons why adults think that students aren't as interested in Christian higher ed than what they really are. So one of those things is the cost of college in general, but specifically Christian private institutions. Now, I'm going to speak here for a minute as a parent. I've been a youth worker and I am a youth worker, but as a parent, we recently, last year, sent our oldest daughter to college, and she is going to a private Christian college and university in another state. And we, like many families and many people thinking about school and students themselves, we got the sticker shock thing when we saw the price tag of what this school was.
That's a really expensive sticker, by the way.
It is, yeah, $34,000.
Yeah, that's really expensive.
When we saw $34,000 per year, we just thought, there's just no way that we can do that.
To spend that much on one sticky adhesive piece of paper?
Yeah, people do it.
It's just...
People do it.
Astounding.
So we looked at that and we dove into those numbers a little bit because I don't know about a lot of people, but we didn't have a huge college fund saved. In fact, what we decided to do was to match our kids, whatever they pay towards their college debt per year, whether they pay off on their loan immediately, we'll match it dollar for dollar. And that's the method that we use going in. Here's what we learned, though, from that school in comparison as a Christian college with a nearby state school. after 4 years in this Christian college, which is $34,000 on their retail, you would say, after 4 years there as compared to 4 years to a nearby state school, students that attend this particular Christian college are only going to have about $6,000 more total in debt for 4 years, over a four-year period. That's only $6,000 difference between going to a state school and a private school when you consider all the funding and options that schools have. Now, this may be somewhat unique, but I know in general, Christian colleges, we shouldn't just look at that price tag and think, oh, there's no way I could afford that, because obviously we're getting into the hundreds of thousands here. But it's really not as bad as what you might think. And, you know, Dave Ramsey has been a person that I've followed. I've practiced a lot of his principles, went through one of his courses, my wife and I. But I think, honestly, and this is hard to say, and I don't want to be controversial here, but I think Dave Ramsey, in a lot of ways, might be really doing damage to particularly Christian higher education, because he always talks about do it as cheap as you can, do it as lean as you can. Now, obviously, that's a great practice and general guideline, but I think when it comes to school and education, we might need to think about it a little bit differently, and especially considering that there may not be that big of a financial difference between the two. Now, it sounds like I'm pushing Christian higher education here, and I believe it. I'm a product of that, but I think what I'm trying to maybe help get across is that we shouldn't just automatically rule it out because we see that price tag if students are interested in going to Christian higher education.
And I'm a product of a state school, a secular school, a large school, where going away meant something as well, moving away from home. And so we could talk about the advantages of community college, and you know, you mentioned Dave Ramsey and do it as cheap as possible. And that's a situation that many families and students have to decide for themselves. And so we're not trying to advocate one way or the other, but I know that there is a benefit for students to go away, whether it's a Christian college or a state school, just being away from home and allowing them to be responsible for their own lives and make decisions on their own and not have to check in with mom and dad, even if they have parents that are like, hey, I know you're staying home, we don't want to intrude on your decision making, but there's still this mentality that they are a child in a sense, like if they aren't moving away, if they aren't going off to college. And there's just a different experience for college age students when they are away. And when you try to do it as cheap as possible, which I would say community college falls under that category, and try to stay home for a school, there is a disadvantage to students for their future and the mentality of growing up and feeling like they are an adult by the time they are graduating college.
Now, you mentioned earlier, Jason, about students considering a gap year. We've seen that personally, and we see it in the numbers, that it's a growing trend. I was actually really surprised when I saw this, that 17% of students are saying, I'm planning on taking a year off. And maybe it was that influence of LeBron James, just feeling like you need time off as much as possible. Anyway, I'll get off that subject now. But taking time away, so taking a year off is a growing trend. And we're interested in why that is and what students are actually doing.
Right. When I was graduating high school and deciding to go off to college, gap year was not even an option. It wasn't even a term. And looking into the gap year terminology, there isn't really even good stats of the number of students that are graduating high school and deciding to take a year off before going off to college, where just research in general is there isn't any solid data. It's speculated that it's less than 1% of a graduating class is taking a year off, but it's still a growing trend. So 17% of students wanting to take a year off may seem small, but it's a growing trend. We're hearing more often that students want to take a year off. And what are those options when they do take that year off? Students may say, I want to take a year off because I just want to figure out what I want to do as a career. So I want to try out careers. And sometimes it's about volunteering time. They are passionate about volunteering their time with a nonprofit, an organization, missions, doing YWAM, Youth with a Mission, going across the seas, somewhere domestic, but being involved in some sort of ministry where they can devote their time in helping out others. Sometimes it's traveling, it's backpacking in Europe or South America, or even, again, domestic. But taking that time and saying, I never will have this, at least this mindset, never have this time to myself where it's an extended period of time where I can do what I want, I can take road trips, and I can travel and see things. And students are recognizing that, because once they go to college, then college leads to a career, and careers have other demands. Time off, vacation time is not as fruitful. Marriage and kids, and you just start adulting. The options are just looking for the travel or even hanging out at home and relieving themselves of the stress that the last 13 years have caused by being involved in school and education. And so some students are just going, I just want to take that year off and not have to think about tests and learning and studying and just demanding space on my mind. And so those are multiple options, but they are considering a lot of these options.
Now, when we come back, we're going to talk about what students are saying about their own thoughts about their particular futures. We've heard about kind of what they're thinking of doing. We're going to hear how they feel about it. And then we're going to talk about what we can do involved in the lives of students to help prepare them for the future in very specific ways.
My name is Jeremy Herr, and I am the youth pastor at Eastport Bible Church, which is located on Long Island in New York. I love how NTS balances fun with yet an incredible spiritual dimension. Our students have a blast, but they also get fed so much in their relationship with God, and they come back so much closer to Jesus than they were when they entered into that week of camp. Absolutely 100% go. It will be a transcendent part of their youth ministry year and a jumping board for everything that then comes after for that youth group. And I would just couldn't more highly recommend it.
Are you optimistic about the future, or does it freak you out about the future? Like,
your future scares me. Like, it's just a fear I have. Like, anything in the future, it scares me. Like, next year, ACTs, SATs, that scares me. Like, graduating scares me. Like, going to college, anything like that, it scares me. But
why do you think?
I don't know. Like, I've had, like, a fear of growing up, like, ever since I was little. Like, the fear of, like, responsibilities and all that stuff, it, like, hits me. But I don't know. That's just who I am. But I don't know. I'm going to be praying about it.
I think part of it is just because my past, like, my dad lost his job for almost about a year. And my mom didn't have a job at the time, and it was, like, really, really difficult for us because my cousins were literally having us, literally bringing us food just because we didn't have enough money to buy food, and being in that situation was just awful for me and my family. And so I just don't want to, you know, that's kind of my concern, like, just will that happen again with my family, you know, and that's definitely a big concern of mine.
Although life may be very uncertain, I think that God calls us out to live an uncertain life. Because if you're doing something that you're comfortable with, something that you're, like, used to, then you're not really moving ahead any further than God wants you to go. And so as soon as you step out of that comfort zone, I think that God is working in your heart and God's doing something that he ultimately wants you to do. And something like, you know, going out of state for college, like, I don't, that's kind of scary. But at the same time, like, that's something that I think God is, like, trying to do something in my life where something great is going to happen that I don't even know what it's going to look like, what's going to happen. And that's where all the uncertainty comes from. But the truth is, I don't think we're supposed to know. I think that, like, that's where our hope comes from. That's where our faith comes on, just going into life, not knowing what's going to happen, but just trusting God that he will carry you through.
We asked students if they're excited about their future. And here's what we learned. 48% said, yes, I am excited about my future. And yet adults were a little bit more pessimistic. Only 17% of adults thought that students would be excited about their future.
And students had a very positive outlook on their future. 93% said they were mostly or somewhat positive about the future. 93%. So there's a positive outlook.
Yeah. And we found something also that almost seems to contradict that until you look deeper into it. So 93% are positive about their outlook, and yet almost half, 48%, say that the emotion that they mainly experience when they think about the future is fear or worry. So a good chunk of them, about half. So we take this to mean that they're optimistic about their future, but they have a lot of questions and probably some anxiety as they think about what the future holds.
And something that we may have mentioned in the past episodes of podcasting, but if you want to take a closer look of these numbers, every week there's a blog on neverthesame.org where you can look at the breakdown and what the question we asked and the responses, just so you have an idea that we're not just pulling these numbers out of anywhere, but we did do the research and these are the questions that we asked and these are the answers that we gave them as options to give and the breakdown of percentages. So if you want to take a closer look, like I said, go to neverthesame.org and our blog is found there.
And a lot of people do want to go deeper and they want to know where these numbers are coming from. And that's another great resource for you. Now, we want to talk about three specific things that we feel like would be a good guidelines as we think about our role as adults in preparing students for the future. So whether you're a youth pastor listening to this, you might be a volunteer youth worker, you might be a parent, you might just be a caring adult in the life of a young person. But what are some things that we can do to help prepare them for the future? One of the things to think about is teaching them good habits. We're talking about things like having them be able to process truth. That's a really important thing these days in the age of information that we're in. There's so much information, but how much of that is good or true information? How much of it is biblical? So helping them process truth, having a good, solid biblical worldview is another thing that's really important. And having them have the ability to face doubt, maybe to ask some tough questions. And we're going to talk about that a little bit more here in a second. But facing doubt. Now, in my experience, in working with literally thousands of students personally over the years in youth ministry, I would say that roughly about 50% of students take a break and disconnect from the church for a while after they graduate high school. And when they do that, it's usually temporary. Sometimes it's not. But when they do that, I think we can realize that the time that we have with them and helping them have good habits and good thought processes and ways to think and even good habits when it comes to Bible engagement and life skills, when it comes to their spiritual life, connecting with the community is a really important thing in teaching them good habits.
Another point that we had in helping them prepare for the future is have a thought out checklist for them to know and experience. And what I mean by that is thinking through some of the things that you want them to know and experience, like rites of passage, trips, traditions, content that you want to teach them, moments and experiences. And part of that is in your ministry, there's a tendency to just either only think about the future month or future semester and just kind of plan week to week within that time frame. But are we as youth leaders, youth pastors, adults that are working with students, have we thought out a four-year plan, a checklist of things that you want to teach them, content that you go, man, I want them to know this before they graduate high school, instead of thinking as a semester per semester, but instead a four-year idea where you go, in those 4 years, X, Y, and Z are going to be taught, and I really want these to be something that the students are able to grab and grasp.
Yeah, the educational institutions are doing that in public schools. Why shouldn't we be doing that even more so in having a kingdom influence, right, and a godly influence in their lives? You talked about it from a ministry perspective. Let me share again from a parent's perspective in having three daughters. When they were younger, we sat down, my wife and I, over a period of a couple nights, and then we refined it over the next year or so. But we came up with about a 10-page document that was a series of experiences, a checklist, things that we wanted them to know about, Even specific things like certain books that we wanted them connected with, or movies, or certain vacation places, but definitely principles and habits that we wanted to show them, model to them, get involved with them in, so that all these moments and things like you mentioned, rites of passage, we had at least some kind of game plan as parents. So if you're listening to this and you're a parent, that would be something to consider. What did you want your kids to know and experience by the time they graduate? And if you're a youth worker, think about that, but also challenge parents, encourage them. Have you thought about their own checklist as parents? This is a way that you can help resource parents as well.
That is a great idea. The third point for preparing students for the future is hand them off well. What we mean by that is thinking about the next steps for their environment, whether it's college, career, home, future home, family. Are we preparing them in a way that they are being handed off well to the next stage of life? Are we gathering the seniors and saying, I want to make this a point to instill even more direction, instill more guidance, making it personal, knowing where they're headed to, what the next stage of life looks like for each student, and making it personal, making it a point to connect with all of those seniors that are going to be graduating, even if the 80% of them have left after junior year, but to connect with them and say, I want to hand you off well to the environment that you are stepping into. Train them to handle adversity, especially towards their faith. I know from my own experience going to a state school, if I wasn't aware of the adversity that I was going to face against my faith, where there's professors that are absolutely against the Christian belief. I mean, I remember biology classes, I remember writing classes. There were professors that were absolutely against the belief in creation, in faith, in anything, in a higher power. And so the entire semester was things against what I believed. And if students aren't aware of this adversity, if students aren't prepared to defend their faith, if we just kind of send them off into the realm of wolves, they are going to get eaten alive. Because I know for a fact that because of my awareness of this, I was able to go to my professor during office hours and have discussions about what I believed and why I needed to defend it in my papers or the tests or anything like that, because I was willing to fight for my faith and not just give it up really quickly because I respected the professor. The encouragement here is, are we preparing them to be handed off well? And we want to end with this thought. Students are focused on the future. They are experiencing anxiety and fear about the future. They are positive about the future, but there's still this anxiety and fear. And Jesus taught us about the future. And what he said was, don't worry about it. Don't worry about tomorrow. And he taught us how to pray, give us today our daily bread, the needs that we need today, focused on today. And looking at Matthew 6:25, he stated, that is why I tell you not to worry about everyday life. Whether you have enough food and drink or enough clothes to wear, isn't life more than food and your body more than clothing? Look at the birds. I know today we are recording this on a spring day. The birds are chirping. We are excited about the new life that is going to blossom because of a cold winter. But don't worry about tomorrow. Don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will bring its own worries. Today's trouble is enough for today. The Heavenly Father knows our needs. Seek the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously, and he will give you everything you need.
The Thought Factory podcast is brought to you by Never the Same, whose vision is to see new generations transformed in Christ to further the kingdom of God. Learn more at neverthesame.org.